Our Father in Heaven, we thank you that we can be gathered together as your children to worship you this day. And we rejoice that there are so many in different parts of the world who are lifting up their hearts this day to worship you. And we pray that you be pleased to be with your children, that you have the freedom to speak to us, to grant us insight into the truth. That the Spirit of God may renew our minds, transform our hearts, and that we may know how to walk with you in fellowship, in truth, in love. We commit our time to your hands with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen. We continue with our consideration of the subject, the fulfillment of God's purposes, the 199th message. The subtopic for today, eagerness to learn, to know, to receive the fourth message. We have been reflecting on the meaning and implications of the posture of God and truth in the preceding three messages. I considered with you this important implication of eagerness to learn, to know, and to absorb the truth, especially truth in relation to God, the ways of God, and also how we can be faithful to God, that God's perfect will may be fulfilled in our lives and also in the lives of others. We have seen with the coming of Christ in the new covenant, the Lord Jesus opens up to us fresh dimensions of deep, precious truth that's important for us to know. What has been the heart of God before the foundation of the world, hidden since then until the coming of Christ. Knowing and receiving these truths into our hearts is of utmost importance and value in the working of God's purposes. The Lord Jesus uses the expression, the mysteries of the kingdom of God, to refer to these fresh revelations, Luke chapter 8 verse 10. Understanding the kingdom of God and the issues involved is crucial for the fulfillment of God's purposes. The Apostle Paul also uses the term mystery to refer to these important truths. The Apostle Paul, in his preaching and teaching, concentrated on the role of Christ and God's intentions for us in Christ, the mystery of Christ. In the last message, we saw the themes of the kingdom of God and the person and role of Christ are both major themes in the scriptures, and they are inextricably intertwined. The mysteries of the kingdom of God and the mystery of Christ. And both themes are central in the preaching and teaching of the Lord Jesus and the Apostle Paul. We can say they are central themes in the scriptures. If one were to ask the question, in our eagerness to learn, to know, and to receive the truth, is there any area we must pay much attention to? The answer is, we must pay much attention to these two themes. What we can learn from the scriptures regards to the kingdom of God and the person and role of Christ and the implications for our lives, personally and together as God's people. Today I want to begin by asking the question, is there any passage in the scriptures containing the testimony of the Lord Jesus on the crucial importance of this area of truth, including truly knowing who he is, the kingdom of God, the relationship between knowing who he is and the kingdom of God, why Christ came to this world, who would hear his voice and receive the truth? The answer is yes. The testimony of the Lord Jesus before Pilate, just prior to the cross. Let's turn to John chapter 18, verses 33 to 38. And there are important truths revealed to us in this passage. I do not intend to go through the whole passage, but just highlight to you a few key aspects. John chapter 18, verse 33, Pilate said to him, "Are you the King of the Jews?" There is Pilate speaking to the Lord Jesus. Verse 36, Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world." Pilate asked, "Are you the King of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world." The last part of the verse, "My kingdom is not of this realm." Pilate said to him, verse 37, "So you are a king." Jesus answered, "You say correctly that I am a king. For this I have been born, and for this I have come into the world, to testify to the truth." These words are very meaningful and important for us to ponder over and grasp properly, because they help us to understand the central thrust of the teaching of the scriptures, and also why Christ came to this world and the role of Christ. Pilate didn't quite understand when he asked the Lord Jesus, "Are you the King of the Jews?" in relation to who Christ really is. In one sense, it is true that the Lord Jesus is the King of the Jews, but not in the sense that Pilate had in mind, or even many of the Jews, what they had in mind in relation to the coming Messiah. The Lord Jesus, he answered, "My kingdom is not of this world." By now, many of us are very familiar with these words, but these are fresh revelations with the coming of the Messiah. That the Messiah who came to this world, not only a savior, or many of the Jews were expecting a deliverer, deliverance from the Romans, but this Messiah is also a king. And he says, "My kingdom is not of this world." He is the king of the kingdom of God. He says, "My kingdom is not of this realm." And this is a very important area of truth for us to appreciate who Christ is, and also the key to understanding his teaching. If we do not appreciate the meaning of Christ being the kingdom, the king in the kingdom of God, then a lot of the things he talks about, we cannot properly understand. I've covered this with you in quite a number of messages in times past in relation to the Lord Jesus in the series Appearance and Reality, and also some of the messages were edited, put together in the book The Two Kingdoms. When the Lord Jesus says, "My kingdom is not of this world," he is actually telling us his kingdom is the kingdom of God. And throughout his preaching and teaching, that was a central aspect of his teaching. So Pilate says, "So you are a king." But Pilate still didn't quite understand. "You're a king?" Jesus answered, "You say correctly, I'm a king." So the Lord Jesus did not deny he was a king. And on that, he says, "I am a king." And he's still king. He was a king. He is still king. He was the prophesied Messiah, the coming king. So this is a very important aspect. The Lord Jesus is king, king in his kingdom. And he says, "For this I have been born." Very important reason why he came to this world. "For this I have come into the world, to testify to the truth." Here we can say a very major aspect of the Lord Jesus coming to this world from two angles. One is he came to testify to the truth. And in fact, he himself is the truth. That's why we see whenever he testifies, he often testifies about himself. He came to reveal to us the truth. But he himself is the Word of God. So very central to the truth that he has come to reveal is actually about himself and his role in the fulfillment of God's purposes and our relationship with him is very critical to our entering God's kingdom and also how we can have a meaningful part in God's kingdom. But not only that, when the Lord Jesus says, "For this I've been born, for this I've come to the world to testify to the truth," the testifying to the truth also includes this part, that he is a king. And he's a king, his kingship in the kingdom of God is a very major aspect of his role. And the truth that he's seeking to communicate to us, as well as a very central area we need to appreciate and to understand. We can say he is the truth. He has come to reveal the truth to us, and central to the truth is the need for us to know who he is and his role. That is the heart of the mystery. And a major aspect of his role is his kingship. And this is directly related to a very major aspect that we need to recognize of our response to God, our response to the truth, and that is our need to submit to him, submit to his kingship. If we recognize who Christ is, his kingship, and we also know how to submit to his kingship, and he has much to teach us on this subject, as well as subsequently in the epistles and the rest of the New Testament, you will find that he has a lot to do with helping us to appreciate how we are to live out our lives as God's children in God's kingdom. And very central to it is the spirit of submission to God, or submission to the kingship of Christ. The Lord Jesus went on to say, "Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." All these words are very rich in meaning, and it's helpful for us to see the interrelationship. Christ came to reveal to us the truth. At the very heart of the truth is he himself and who he is. And the very heart of it is for us to appreciate his role. And one major aspect of his role is king, in his kingdom, and for us to submit to him. Of course, we first need to enter into his kingdom. And you notice, entering into God's kingdom, into the kingdom of Christ, is repentance and faith. And that is very much related to our appreciation of who Christ is, faith in him. And this repentance is turning away from darkness to light, to him who is the true light, and submitting to his lordship, to his kingship. That is at the heart of true repentance. Turning from darkness, living our lives according to our personal wishes, inclinations, our own thinking, no more living in that way, but now coming to him, the truth, the light, the life, and submitting to him, his kingship, his lordship. And the more fully we can appreciate his role, and the more fully we can submit to him, the more God's perfect will be realized in our lives, and the more we'll move in the direction of the fullness of life. But the Lord Jesus says, "Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." What does it mean? Truth here has a positive moral spiritual dimension. In the past, I've gone through this with you. Truth in the scriptures, and especially when the Lord Jesus tells us he's the way, the truth, and the life, full of grace and truth. What does it mean? Truth in all its richness of meaning, especially the positive moral spiritual dimension. So when the Lord Jesus says, "Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice," we know he's talking about something positive, because they hear his voice. But if you know the truth, you cannot hear his voice. So he's telling us, those who can hear him, who can appreciate what he's trying to communicate, will be able to gain true insight into the truth that he's trying to communicate. Very important, has to do with the heart attitude of the hearer. He who is of the truth. Is there that positive moral spiritual dimension of the person who is receptive to the truth, who is seeking to know the truth, who wants to receive the truth, and who wants to walk in truth. Now, if you have that kind of spirit, that kind of attitude or heart, you'll be able to hear His voice. You'll be able to recognize that He speaks truth. You'll be able to understand. Light will dawn. You'll be able to respond well and receive the truth well. To respond well and to receive the truth is to hear the Lord Jesus and to receive Him and to obey Him. And that is the very heart of the Christian faith. In all this, is also helpful from this passage, consistent with and bearing in mind the total revelation of scriptures, you'll see that a very key issue of what God requires of us, as well as a key issue in God's kingdom, is truth. Recognition of the truth, receiving the truth, so that we can become men of truth and walk in truth. That is why Christ came to this world. That's why God gives us the scriptures. That's why God gives us the Holy Spirit. Why the Spirit of God is poured forth. He is the Spirit of truth. He came so that He can lead us into all the truth and also glorify Christ in our lives and through our lives. We note, interestingly here, verse 38, Pilate said to Him, "What is truth?" That is actually a very important question. What is truth? Well, we've been talking about it, but Pilate didn't quite understand. He said, "What is truth?" And when he said this, he went out. The irony is, he was asking the Lord Jesus, "What is truth?" And the Lord Jesus is the person who can give him the full answer to this very vital question of life. What is truth? But Pilate didn't wait to hear further. He didn't quite understand. And after asking what is truth, he went out. How about us? We recognize the Lord Jesus as our personal Savior and Lord. The scriptures have so much to tell us, to reveal to us of who He is, the truth, and how God wants us to work out our lives before Him. But is there that eagerness in our hearts to seek, to know the truth, to receive it, so that it can renew our minds, transform our lives, so that indeed we can rise up to God's high calling and enter fully into all that God intends for us, the fullness of life. I'll go on to a few more passages, but we see consistently the importance of knowing the truth, receiving the truth, walking in truth. And this is at the very heart of the posture of God and truth. If we properly understand the meaning of this posture, and we align our hearts with the posture, then this will be our direction. This will grip our hearts day and night. The moment we open our eyes throughout the day, before we sleep, and hopefully also while you sleep. And yes, wonderful things can also take place within us while we sleep if our posture is God and truth. You may wonder why I say that. Sometimes you are puzzled over something, you've been praying, you just don't know the answer. You go to sleep, that next morning when you get up, the answer is there, the moment you open your eyes. Have you ever had that experience? Something has taken place in the night. I now want to go on to this issue of the life of true freedom. God wants us to enter into the life of true freedom. Do we long for such a life? Of course. All of us, as God's children, we long to experience the life of true freedom in its fullest sense. How do we enter into this life of true freedom in the Lord? Messages can be preached on this, but I now want to just say a few words. And we see they are also interlinked with what we are considering. The life of true freedom has a lot to do with knowing the truth, absorbing the truth, and the role of the Lord Jesus Christ in our lives. And this is, again, the testimony of the Lord Jesus. He himself tells us we can be truly free by knowing and living according to what he teaches us, his word. And that is the word of truth. And it's also in him and through him that we can enter into this life of true freedom. John chapter 8, verses 31 and 32. In times past, I've also reflected on these verses with you at length. Now, just some brief comments. So Jesus was saying to those Jews who had believed in him. Notice he was talking to those who believe him. Who believe in him. If you continue in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Although they believe in him, the Lord Jesus tells them, if. Similarly applies to us. We may say we believe in the Lord Jesus. It may be true, but there's still an if. There's still a need to continue in his word, and we may not. The other is to what degree, at what depth, we are identifying with him and continuing in his word. If you continue in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine. Disciples are those who follow the Lord Jesus, must follow his teachings. Do we call him Lord? Affirm we are his disciples, and yet we do not pay so much attention to his word. Do we? Do we really long to appreciate, to understand his teaching? And when we can gain further insight into his teaching, it is so much that we have yet to understand and appreciate. And when we can, do we really value it and realize its significance for our lives? Knowledge of the truth. And the truth revealed by the Lord Jesus Christ in his teaching. If you continue in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. If you want to continue his word, you must first understand, gain insight into his word. Then after that, walk in it. And then he says, and you will know the truth. But then you may wonder, you must first know the truth, then you can walk in it. Then how come he says, continue my word, then you will know the truth. Here, you need to appreciate that this second part, verse 32 of you will know the truth, is a deeper meaning, a richer meaning. Not just recognizing the truth. You know the truth, you recognize the truth, and then you walk in it, then you will enter into the realm of truth. Experiential. You will know the truth, including that, you can say that realm of truth of what ought to be as a child in God's kingdom, and at the very heart of it is that relationship with Christ, with God. And a deeper experience of the meaning of the truth. Renewing our minds, experiential in our hearts, and the living it out. And when we enter into that, the Lord Jesus says, the truth will make you free. That is the path of true freedom. The freedom that God wants us to enter into. And this is closely related to the role of Christ and why he came to this world in verse 36. So if the Son makes you free, you will be free indeed. The role of Christ in our lives. To what degree he has the freedom to work in our lives, to work through our lives. Not only to grant us insight into the truth, but also the freedom with which he can work in our hearts. Christ in me. The hope of glory, or Christ in you, the hope of glory, as Paul puts it. or what we have seen in several messages, the preceding earlier messages, Christ lives in me, the testimony of the Apostle Paul, how he lived. Knowing the truth, walking in truth, and the life of freedom in the Lord Jesus Christ, that is the freedom from bondage to sin, bondage to the evil one, and also the power to live out the truth, the perfect will of God. Isn't that what we long for in our lives? And that we can find in the truth in the Lord Jesus Christ. So it is critical. If we want to enter into the fullness of life God intends for us, we must set our hearts to know the truth, receive it into our hearts, and vitally related to our relationship with Christ. It is a life of true freedom, spiritual abundance, and fruitfulness as we abide in Christ and He in us in truth. John chapter 15, verses 4 and 5. Yes. As we continue to be nourished by the life of Christ, as we enter into deep fellowship with Him, as we abide in Him and He in us, we will enter into the life of true freedom, spiritual abundance, and fruitfulness. And bear in mind, all these are important features of the posture of God and truth. If we want to experience the life of spiritual abundance and fruitfulness, and a life of true freedom, we must align our heart with the posture of God and truth, and also to continually bear in mind the infinite depth of this posture. When we enter into a certain degree of meaningfulness, of truly aligning our heart with the posture, we will be able to experience a certain measure of these realities. But we must continue on to deepen it. And the more we deepen it, the richer will be this life of spiritual abundance and fruitfulness. More and more we'll experience the deep fellowship with the Lord, Christ having the freedom to work in our hearts, and also the experience of the working of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth. The Lord Jesus, in His teaching, one aspect you'll find continually comes out is His drawing our attention to the importance of having the right heart attitude. That is the key. God looks at the heart. We look at this in Appearance of Reality, even Old Testament times, the book of Samuel. God looks at the heart. Man looks at our appearance, the tendency, but God looks at the heart. So the right heart attitude is very important, and one of the aspects is very important in relation to the right heart attitude is our heart's attitude toward revelation of the truth. God has revealed to us, and in particular, now I'm mentioning about with the coming of Christ, the fresh dimension of deep spiritual truth that God now reveals to us, but in times past, it was not revealed. Major areas of truth the Old Testament people didn't understand. Even the prophets, even those close to God, because the time was not yet. Not because we are more spiritual, but because the time was not yet. And I mentioned in the preceding message that the Lord Jesus used this expression, the mysteries of God's kingdom. The mysteries of God's kingdom. It has to do with God's kingdom, the values, the perspective, how we can enter God's kingdom, how we can fare well in God's kingdom. And the Lord Jesus tells us our heart's attitude towards the mysteries of God's kingdom ought to be like a man who finds treasure hidden in the field. It is treasure. And a merchant who found a pearl of great value, and we are prepared to give our all. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 13, verses 44 to 46. Matthew chapter 13, verses 44 to 46. Verse 44, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in the field, which a man found and hid again, and from joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking fine pearls, and upon finding one pearl of great value, he went and sold all that he had and bought it. It's helpful to bear in mind the context. The context, these two parables, is part of the Sermon on the Mount. Oh, sorry, not Sermon on the Mount, but in part of Matthew chapter 13 and chapter 13. There are many parables in this chapter, and many of these parables are very important to help us to appreciate various aspects of God's kingdom, the kingdom of God. And the context here also tells us, from verse 34, all these things Jesus spoke to the crowds in parables. He did not speak to them without a parable. I refer to you these two verses, 34 and 35. Verse 35, take note. This was to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things hidden since the foundation of the world. This is precisely what we are talking about, that the Lord Jesus talking about the mysteries of the kingdom, and he says he taught in parables, and verse 35 says this to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet, I will open my mouth in parables. Verse 11, you'll notice he was talking about the mysteries of the kingdom of God. To you it has been granted to know, the disciples, verse 11. Then verse 35 tells us that many of the things he spoke to them through parables, and this was to fulfill the prophecy, I will utter things hidden since the foundation of the world. So many of these things were hidden since the foundation of the world. That means before the foundation of the world, all these were already in the heart of God. God's plans, God's intentions in relation to his kingdom, the coming of Christ, the role of Christ, and what God intends for us in Christ. And now the Lord Jesus with his coming, he's teaching these things. And the Lord Jesus tells us in verse 44, these things in relation to the kingdom of heaven, what ought to be our attitude towards it. And to be able to appreciate the parables, to enter into what God intends for us, a very key issue is the appreciation of the truth in relation to God's kingdom. And they come forth, much of it, through parables. So the Lord Jesus says, like treasure hidden in the field, this man, he sells all that he has to buy that field. Or like a merchant seeking fine pearls, he finds this pearl of great value, he went and sold all that he had to buy it. So this heart's attitude towards the truth in relation to God's kingdom, and not just to be able to recognize it, to be able then to enter into it. And these are the deep things in God's heart. It has been there before the foundation of the world, but not revealed until the new covenant with the coming of Christ. So all these various aspects of truth, it's very important that we truly value, treasure these things, long to know them like treasure hidden in the field, like this pearl of great value. And we are prepared to give our all. This is the teaching of the Lord Jesus. Do we value these things in relation to God's kingdom? First to understand the truth and then to enter into it. These truths are very precious and important. They have been in the heart of God before the foundation of the world, hidden since then, but now revealed. But though now revealed in the scriptures, we still need to gain spiritual insight. The Lord Jesus taught. Many heard. Even the disciples also couldn't quite understand. So again, they have to ask the Lord Jesus to explain. But now for us, we have the whole of the New Testament. besides the parables, so many other aspects in the teachings of the Lord Jesus than in the epistles of Paul. But we need to understand how all these truths hold together, and at the core center, what is it all about? And how God wants us to respond to these truths that He has now revealed. But the aspect I now want to emphasize in these parables of the Lord Jesus in Matthew 13, verses 44 to 46, is our whole attitude of approach, our attitude of heart, that we are prepared to give our all in order to seek to understand, to gain insight into these truths, and to enter into the realities that God intends for us. And yes, this is what life is all about during our time on earth. More and more to gain deeper insight into these truths, in order that it can renew our minds, transform our lives, and that we can then enter more and more fully into God's intentions for us. We'll now look at two more verses, again the words of the Lord Jesus, that helps us to recognize the need for spiritual insight into all these truths, and not only that, in a way that renews our minds and transforms our lives. Let's now look at Matthew chapter 6, verses 22 and 23. Matthew chapter 6, verses 22 and 23. Just now I mentioned Matthew 13, verses 44, 46, as part of the Sermon on the Mount. That's not so. That is chapter 13 mentioned. There are many parables there. Yes, the words of the Lord Jesus. But Matthew 6, 22 to 23, the context here is the Sermon on the Mount. That's correct. But first, let us look at Matthew 6, verses 22, 23. The words of the Lord Jesus in this very important sermon. The eye is the lamp of the body. So then if your eye is clear, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light that is in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? Now if we ponder over these words carefully, we'll know that it's quite clear. The Lord Jesus, when He says the eye, He's not talking about the physical eye. When He says the body, He's not talking about the physical body. Same thing in verse 23. If your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. He's not talking about the physical eye, nor the physical body. Because we know, if our eye doesn't see clearly, physically, does it mean our whole body will be full of darkness, our physical body? No. And also bear in mind, I mentioned the thrust of the teaching of the Lord Jesus. He's talking about things of God's kingdom. He's talking about the spiritual realm. He's talking about truth. And these two verses are very important. He's telling us the importance of the eye. Your eye is clear, your whole body will be full of light. Clear, verse 22. In the margin, it says healthy or sincere. The lexicon says it can also be translated as sound. It's clear, it's sound, it's working well, it's healthy. If your eye can see clearly, so what is this eye? It's a spiritual eye, the eyes of our heart. When we have spiritual insight, and the spiritual insight is good, clear, accurate, wholesome, then he says, our body will be full of light. What is this body? The body here is referring to the person, the inner man, the spiritual eye, and the health of the inner man, the total person. If the spiritual eye, the eyes of our heart, we can see clearly, the whole person will be full of light. Now, when the Lord Jesus says this, we know it goes beyond just a recognition of the truth already. Same thing, he says, verse 23. If your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness, the negative. So the positive and the negative. So he's talking about the person, the whole person. So that means the recognition of the truth is very important, but here is spiritual insight. And beyond that, it also involves the mind being renewed and our hearts, our lives transformed. So the whole body is full of light. The positive, moral, spiritual dimension has entered into our being. But it enters first through the spiritual insight. We first must recognize the truth, not just mental, but the spiritual eye. We must appreciate the spiritual insight. And then it gets absorbed into our being. Just as food is absorbed into the physical body, it affects the physical body. Here's a spiritual dimension through the truth entering into the eyes of our heart. And then it permeates our being. Then the whole being will be full of light. But if what we see is negative, is unsound, it's not truth, it's not light, our body, our eye is bad, then the whole body is full of darkness. So when we are deceived, deception that comes from the evil one can darken our lives very adversely. Yeah, there's many of the things we, even as Christians, how much more so the lives of non-believers. But even Christians, when we hear things that are not sound, especially if our hearts are not right, then we absorb a lot of things that are not sound into our hearts. It will darken our lives. The whole being will become adversely affected. So this recognition of the truth clearly, accurately, in a wholesome way, and the way that enters into our being, is extremely important. But also notice the context. Just prior to that, the Lord Jesus talking about treasure, verses 19, 20, 21, the preceding verses. He says, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth. So treasure is important? Yes. Don't store treasure on earth, but he says, store up for yourselves treasures in heaven. So he's talking about, in this context, talking about the things that really matter, what is truly of value, and not what the world talks about, treasures on earth. He's talking about treasures in heaven of eternal value, of eternal significance. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. What is it that we truly value? We look at just now Matthew 13, verses 44 to 46. What is it we really treasure? Very, very critical aspect is truth. And very central to it, we appreciate and understand that Christ has come at the core center, the mysteries of God's kingdom. The mystery of Christ. At the very core center of the most important things that God wants to reveal to us, but actually all truth come together. But there's a core center, and then it permeates out. And all the truth that God wants to reveal to us in the scriptures has best a relationship with this core center of God's intentions for us in Christ, and that God is concerned about the kingdom of God, his eternal kingdom. All the other things can be shaken, they will all perish. But what is of God's kingdom will endure. Likewise, the way we live our lives, are we living our lives in a way that will make a difference to God's eternal kingdom? Apart from that, everything else will perish. So all the earthly accomplishments, they will all perish. All the earthly wealth that we accumulate, they will all perish. But this is where we need to be quite careful to understand that the scriptural teaching is not that our attitude towards material wealth is not important, then, and we need not bother about studies, our career, and so on. That is not the scriptural teaching. But it is true. Only what is of God's eternal kingdom will endure. And material wealth is relevant. We pay attention to this area only because our attitude towards material things, including material wealth, our heart's attitude towards these things, including the spirit of stewardship, discipleship, will have a direct bearing on the issues pertaining to God's kingdom. Our attitude towards the material things will have a bearing on our inner health, the health of our inner being. To what degree are we truly submitted to God? In all areas, including material wealth. And that is the reign of God. It has to do with our approach, our attitude to God's kingdom. That's where you will come in. And that is the way it has to have a bearing on every aspect, including our career. If the way you approach career is just like the people of the world, that is darkness. That's worldliness. And friendship with the world is hostility toward God. Love of the things of the world will damage our lives. But when we approach all things in fellowship with God, from the perspective of God's kingdom, reflecting the heart's attitude, the values, and the perspective of one whose heart is aligned with God, and from the perspective of God's kingdom, and how a child of God ought to approach these things. What I try to cover in the book, The Two Kingdoms, citizens of heaven living in a fallen world, how we ought to live. Now, if we live properly in that way, then the kingdom of God advances, first in our own hearts, and then in the spiritual realm, and the people we come into contact with. And that is how we ought to approach every area, every issue of life. They are all interconnected, and they ought to. So we cannot say we love the Lord. We are submitted to Him. But there are various areas of life that do not reflect the values of God's kingdom. They do not arise. We do not respond to them arising from our fellowship with God and how God wants us to conduct ourselves. So we come back to the posture of God and truth, aligning our heart with the heart of God and the truth revealed to us. So the teachings of the Lord Jesus, when we put them all together, likewise the teachings of Paul and the rest of the scriptures, is very rich in meaning to see how they all come together in a very beautiful whole. Isn't it wonderful that we can store up treasures in heaven while we are on earth? We need to understand how to go about it. Do not approach our daily lives and the things in the visible realm the way the people of the world do. We must learn to view, to approach all things while living on this earth, in the spirit of true discipleship, in fellowship with the Lord, according to His teaching. And to understand, when we mention about the teaching, the truth is not just a mental thing. How we first seek to know He who is the truth, the way and the life, and then to walk with Him and to walk in Him, to abide in Him and He in us. To truly understand His teaching, absorb them. And all the rest of the scriptures, they all actually come forth from the same source, God Himself. And we know that the Lord Jesus is God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The truths in the scriptures that I have from time to time emphasized, including our times of study together. We must set our hearts to know what God truly intends to teach us, to communicate to us through the scriptures. And it's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. What do they want to communicate to us through the scriptures? Not just reading the scriptures to try to look for something there that will support our own ideas. Or when we read the scriptures, And then certain thoughts come to our minds, and we think, oh, how wonderful. I now see this thing in such a wonderful way. And then when you can share with people, they will all marvel and open their mouths. We never see it like that before. All that is not only of no use, it's very dangerous if it is not actually what God wants to communicate to us and teach us in the scriptures. But when we truly understand what God wants to communicate to us in the scriptures, that is vital. But we need to approach it prayerfully. The Spirit of God will grant us true insight. And there's that longing for this spiritual insight to absorb it into our hearts. Paul, in the book, in the epistle to Roman Christians, after 11 chapters where he laid out for us God's plans and purposes, the gospel, and the overcoming life in Christ, chapter 12, when he urged us to present our bodies, to present ourselves as a living sacrifice, he tells us not to be conformed to the world, but to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So the renewing of the mind is extremely important, consistent with the teachings of the Lord Jesus. The truth must renew our minds, which means our mindset, the way we look at things, the way now we view things, value things, the way we approach life. And that is will help us to counter the adverse influence of the world, so that we will not be conformed to the world, but be transformed, the renewing of our mind, the contrast between the two. So all these are very important issues that we need to prayerfully look to the Lord, that He will grant us true insight, and that we may actually live in this way, in the spirit of true discipleship. That in our hearts, there may indeed be that deep eagerness continually to learn, to know, to receive the truth. And the very heart of it is God Himself, the God of truth, Christ the truth, the way and the life, and the Spirit of truth. Our relationship with the Lord, and the Lord granting us insight, so that we may know Him and know His ways, and how we can then work out our lives in fellowship with Him. We'll spend some time to ponder over these truths as we prepare ourselves to partake the Lord's Supper. As we partake the Lord's Supper, we know it's important, helpful for us to reflect on the Lord Jesus, who He is, why He came to this world, His teaching. Let us reflect over the teachings of the Lord Jesus, our perfect teacher, that He not only reveals to us the truth, but He tells us that He Himself is the way, the truth, and the life, full of grace and truth. So as we draw near to Him, we also must have this active heart, a deep longing to absorb the truth, so that we can enter into deep fellowship with Him, absorbing the truth in a way that will renew our minds, transform our hearts. Let us ask the Spirit of God to help us understand, have we been living our lives in the way the Lord Jesus has taught us? Are we prepared to really give our all in order that we may know the truth in God's kingdom? That we may understand the kingdom of God and how we ought to live as God's children in His kingdom? Is there that deep eagerness to seek, to understand, to receive, to absorb the truth? If there's any way that God sees fitting to help us to gain insight into the truth, do we really appreciate, value it? Or are we so much more absorbed by many, many other things that are of secondary importance and worse, things that dull our spiritual sense and our spiritual appetite? And there's anything in our hearts or what we have been paying attention to that dull our spiritual appetite for the things of God and God's kingdom? Let us ask the Lord to help us to know what steps we need to take. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for your deep love toward us. We know it's because of your love toward us that you do not want us to remain in darkness, that you have sent the Lord Jesus Christ into this world, the true light, that through repentance and faith in him, we can know the way of truth and life. We can become your children. We can enter your kingdom. And even now we know there is your desire that we walk in Christ and enter into the fullness of life you intend for us in him. We thank you for Christ in us, the hope of glory, that we know how to submit to his lordship even as we affirm that he is our Lord, that he may have the freedom to do a deep work in our hearts, that our hearts may have a deep longing to appreciate his teaching, so that indeed we may walk in light and not darkness. And we thank you for the whole of the scriptures inspired by God for us, so that we can be trained in righteousness. We can become adequate, equipped for every good work. Father, we pray that you will help us, that all these things that you reveal in the scriptures will not be just mere words to us, that we will not be dull of hearing, we know that you have made so much resources available to us, and to whom much is given, much is required. We ask that you will help each one of us to be earnest, to have a deep longing to know you, to know the truth, to absorb the truth, that we enter into the life of spiritual abundance, the freedom in the Lord Jesus Christ, and to bear good fruit that will endure for eternity. We thank you that even now on earth we can store up treasures in heaven. Help us not to be distracted, not to be led astray by the evil one, not to be deceived by him, and not to be overwhelmed by the things of this world, the affairs of this life, and the many distractions and temptations that come our way. That we may truly align our heart with a posture, align our heart with you and with the truth that you revealed. Thank you now for the Lord's Supper we can partake together. We ask for your blessings on the bread and wine. We ask that as we partake, you help us to do so in faith, in a spirit of worship, submission to you. We ask and pray with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen.